All right, welcome everyone to another deep dive. Today we're taking a look at something that's pretty crucial, especially for, anyone who's thinking about going into post-conviction work or even just, criminal law in general.
Absolutely.
We're talking about federal habeas corpus petitions and more specifically the AEDPA, the Anti-Terrorism and Effective Death Penalty Act, and that lovely one-year deadline that comes along with it.
Right.
And to really understand the nuances here, we're going to take a close look at a case that had a pretty big impact on how that deadline is interpreted, especially when an attorney kind of messes things up.
Yeah.
That case is Holland v. Florida from 2010. So we're going to unpack how the Supreme Court handled those situations, where a lawyer's mistakes could actually end up costing their client their chance to have their case reviewed in federal court, which is, a pretty significant consequence.
Oh, absolutely. It's a huge issue because on one hand, you have these deadlines, right? The ADPA's deadlines.
Yeah.
And those are there for a reason. The legal system needs some degree of finality. But on the other hand, Holland really forces us to confront what it means for the legal system to be fair.
Right.
Even when a lot of time has passed. So you can really see in this case, in Holland, how the court was grappling with this tension between procedure and justice.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Can a procedural misstep, even by an attorney, completely shut down someone's ability to raise potentially serious constitutional claims? That's a weighty question.
Definitely. So let's get into the nitty-gritty here. Let's talk about Albert Holland's case, because that's really where all of this stems from.
Right.
So back in 1997, he's sentenced to death in Florida for a murder conviction.
Right.
And once those state appeals are exhausted, that's when that AEDPA clock starts ticking. 1 year to file that federal habeas petition.
Exactly.
But here's where things go south. His attorney, Bradley Collins, completely misses that deadline.
And it wasn't just a simple oversight or a minor miscalculation. What really makes this case stand out is the just total communication breakdown between Holland and his lawyer.
Yeah.
Collins didn't even tell Holland that the Florida Supreme Court had denied his state post-conviction appeal.
Yeah.
Which, for anyone listening who might not be familiar with this area of law, that denial, that's what actually starts that 1 year federal clock.
Right.
So Holland had no idea that the clock had even started running.
Exactly. And, and on top of that, he's not just sitting there like idly waiting. He actually tries to get in touch with Collins multiple times, like try and get updates on his case.
Right.
And it just shows, I think, how vulnerable people are in these situations. It's like you're at the mercy of your attorney to keep you informed and, to protect your rights.
Absolutely. It's a huge power imbalance.
Huge power imbalance. And in the end, Holland only finds out about the missed deadline about 5 weeks after it's passed. Yeah. So he scrambles, and without a lawyer, he files what's called a pro se petition just 1 day after he discovers the miss.
Wow. So this really raises that big question, right? The one the Supreme Court had to wrestle with.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you have someone facing the death penalty and they're relying on their lawyer to handle these incredibly complex and time-sensitive procedures,
yeah,
and that lawyer fails so badly, should the client be the one who suffers the consequences?
Right. That's the heart of the issue in Holland.
Exactly.
So let's get into the legal weeds a bit. The core issue before the court was, can that AEDPA deadline be kind of put on hold?
Right.
Legally speaking, it's called equitably tolled. And specifically, could it be tolled because of an attorney's misconduct, even if that misconduct didn't rise to the level of, bad faith or intentional wrongdoing?
And it's important to note that the 11th Circuit, which is where Holland's case had been before it reached the Supreme Court, had said no. They had a pretty strict rule that required a showing of bad faith on the attorney's part. Like they were looking for evidence that the lawyer was intentionally trying to sabotage their client's case or something like that.
Right.
Not just negligence, but actual malice.
Right. But the Supreme Court in a, well, I guess a good outcome for Holland, they saw it differently. Justice Breyer wrote the majority opinion and really emphasized that, look, AEDPA's deadline, it can be subject to equitable tolling. It's not absolute.
Right.
And he really leaned on the, the history of equity in habeas law, saying that fairness should outweigh strict adherence to, potentially arbitrary rules, especially in these types of cases.
Yeah, and I think that's what makes this case so fascinating. The court was willing to look beyond just the strict letter of the law and consider the broader principles of justice at play. And they specifically rejected the 11th Circuit's bad faith requirement.
Yeah.
Instead, they laid out a two-part test for when equitable tolling might be appropriate.
Okay, so let's break down that test, because this is really important for understanding the significance of the Holland decision. So the first part, the petitioner has to show that they were diligently pursuing their legal rights.
Right.
They can't just be sitting back and doing nothing. They have to be actively trying to move their case forward.
Exactly. And the second part of the test is that they have to show that some kind of extraordinary circumstance prevented them from filing their petition on time.
Okay.
And this is where the court really scrutinized the conduct of Holland's attorney, Bradley Collins. Yeah. They didn't hold back. They called his actions egregious.
Yeah.
It wasn't just a one-time slip-up. It was a pattern of completely ignoring Holland's repeated letters, not even bothering to figure out the right filing deadline, and just a total failure to communicate with his client for an extended period.
And importantly, the court also pointed out Holland's efforts to stay on top of things. You know, he wasn't passive.
Right.
He kept trying to reach Collins. He reached out to the courts, even went to the Florida bar to try to get some help with his unresponsive lawyer. And all of that, it showed that he was being diligent.
Absolutely. And yeah. It's that combination, the attorney's egregious misconduct actually blocking the timely filing and the petitioner's own diligence that convinced the court that in this case, tolling the deadline was the right thing to do.
Right.
And Justice Breyer, he kind of summed up the court's reasoning with this great quote, "Equity demands flexibility. Archaic rigidity threatens injustice."
Yeah, that's a good one.
Right. It perfectly captures that idea of moving away from a rigid one-size-fits-all approach to these cases.
Right.
Or something that's more, more focused on the specific facts of each individual situation.
Yeah. Now, we also have a concurring opinion here from Justice Alito, which adds another layer of, well, complexity, I guess. He agreed with the majority that attorney abandonment could be a reason to pause the deadline, but he made this really important distinction. Abandonment, yes, but just regular negligence, even gross negligence, not enough.
Right.
Because usually a client is bound by their lawyer's mistakes.
Exactly. And he was, making the point that usually a client is held responsible for their attorney's actions. Mm-hmm. But he carved out this exception for those situations where the attorney is basically just abandoning the client, where they're not acting as a competent advocate at all.
Right.
And he specifically pointed out that Florida had actually blocked Holland from firing Collins.
Oh, wow.
So Holland was stuck with his attorney who was just, not doing his job.
Right.
So that really strengthened the argument for abandonment in this particular case.
Yeah. Interesting. So on the flip side, we have Justice Scalia dissenting, joined by Justice Thomas. And they took a much more, literal approach to interpreting the law.
Right. Their argument was basically that the text of ADPA doesn't say anything about equitable tolling. Congress specifically listed out certain exceptions to the deadline, but they didn't mention tolling. So Scalia's view was, look, if Congress wanted to allow for equitable tolling more broadly, they would have said so explicitly.
Right.
And he went even further. He argued that even if tolling were allowed, any mistake by an attorney, no matter how bad, should be the client's problem.
Wow.
Which is, a pretty different way of thinking about the attorney-client relationship and who should be held accountable when things go wrong.
Definitely. So let's zoom out a little bit. What's the big takeaway here, especially for all the law students out there?
Well, it seems like Holland v. Florida potentially provides a lifeline for those petitioners who are really trying to pursue their habeas rights, but their own attorney is dropping the ball in a really significant way.
Right.
Like before Holland, some courts had this very rigid stance that any attorney error, no matter how bad, was never a good enough reason to pause that AEDPA deadline. But Holland shifted things. It created a more flexible approach where the specific facts of the case actually matter.
Right.
And the court recognized that sometimes the interests of justice require a little bit of flexibility.
Yeah. It shows that constant push and pull in habeas law between wanting to have some finality in criminal convictions, but also making sure that people have a fair chance to challenge those convictions, especially if they're saying their constitutional rights were violated.
Absolutely. And I mean, for law students, I think the key is understanding that two-part test the Supreme Court created.
Right.
You got to be able to spot those situations where a petitioner was diligently pursuing their rights, like Holland was, with all his attempts to communicate and get a new lawyer.
Yeah.
And you also need to be able to identify what qualifies as an extraordinary circumstance that prevented timely filing.
Right.
And as Alito's concurrence emphasized, It generally needs to be more than just negligence, like
Good.
Something closer to abandonment or even, you know, some kind of systemic issue that made it impossible for the petitioner to meet the deadline.
Right. And one more thing for our listeners to keep in mind. Even after Holland, the way this ruling gets applied, it can vary a bit from circuit to circuit.
Yeah, definitely. The Supreme Court laid down the general principles, but it's up to the lower courts to actually apply them in specific cases.
Yeah.
So there can still be differences in how Holland is interpreted and implemented across the country.
Right. So just to wrap up, the main point from Holland v. Florida is that while AEDPA has this strict one-year deadline for filing habeas petitions, the Supreme Court said, okay, there might be exceptions. If the attorney's conduct is truly egregious,
right,
like so bad that it basically amounts to abandonment, and even then the petitioner has to show that they were diligently trying to pursue their rights.
And I think this case really makes us think about the ethical obligations of lawyers, especially in these post-conviction proceedings where the stakes are so high.
Yeah.
What does it really mean to zealously represent your client when their life might literally be on the line and these deadlines are so incredibly important?
Absolutely. And that actually brings us to a final thought for our listeners, especially those of you in law school. How do you think Holland balances the need for finality in the legal system with this fundamental right to seek habeas relief?
Yeah.
Especially when it's your own lawyer's actions that are preventing you from getting that relief.
It's a tough question.
Yeah, it's something to really ponder as you continue your legal studies.
It definitely is. And I think Holland v. Florida provides a really valuable framework for thinking about those issues where justice and procedure collide.
Absolutely. All right, well, that's another deep dive in the books.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
See you then.